Arabinki, yella, yella.
Hey yo, I'm feeling very cold, extremely cold. It seems like the world has no feeling. The bigger it's them screaming. Oh my God, it's freezing. No, sister, just check the meaning. Judge man. This is why I'm cold. This is why I'm cold. This is why I'm cold.
There's something seriously wrong with money and banking at the moment. We've just been through one of the biggest crises in decades, and nobody seems to be able to find a solution. So before we talk about what's wrong with the system and how we fix it, we just want to emphasize the importance of money. Now, money isn't one of those things that you can leave to economists and mathematicians. It determines everything that happens in your life. If you were going to build a house, you probably wouldn't choose to build it on a foundation of sand. You could build the most elaborate house you could imagine, but you know what's going to happen sooner or later. Now, money is the foundation of the economy. In the same way that you need a firm foundation for your house, you need a firm foundation for the economy. Money is the foundation of the economy and society. If money breaks down, then society can break down as well. Now, here's the banking system in 2006. You had this incredibly elaborate system, you know, amazing profits. It seemed like they could turn paper into gold. And here's the banking system in 2010. Now, we don't think it has to be like this. We think it's possible to create a banking system that's stable, sustainable, a system that's productive, and a system that's fair. But that isn't how the system is working at the moment. Under the system at the moment, you have four ways of getting money. Okay, you can either work for it, you can beg for it, you can borrow money, or you could just go and steal it. Now, when we ask people which of these four options is the most important, work is usually the one that people opt for. Now, what you're going to find out over the next few minutes is that borrowing is far, far more significant than any other means of getting money into your pocket. And the reason why money is so important is because it simply determines everything that happens in your life. If you have it, you live well. If you have a lot of it, you live incredibly well. And if you don't, you end up begging at the side of the street, or in the worst possible scenario, you could starve. In fact, a developmental economist under the name of Amartya Sen discovered that famines, when famines occur, it's not due to lack of food. It's due to a range of economic failures in the food distribution system, rising food prices, unemployment, declining wages. Now, a lot of people would point to that and say it's a failure of free markets. We'd probably say it's a failure of the money system. And when the money system breaks down, society starts to break down and people really suffer. And this is Weimar Republic, Germany. The money system broke down there in the 1920s. And you can see here, this was a 500 mark note, and the inflation in there was so severe that they simply had to print 1 million over this note. This is like having a £5 note and the government printing £2,000 over that note, and it's still only been worth enough to buy a couple of beers or a few loaves of bread. Okay. And more recently, Zimbabwe. Everybody's seen the scenes there, the entire, you know, the destruction, the poverty that was created by this money system breaking down alongside bad government. This is a $100 trillion note. And much more recently in America, you know, the banking system's broken down. People lose their jobs, people lose their houses, people end up on the streets begging for money. You know, the money system is absolutely critical to the health of the economy and to the health of society, and we cannot afford to screw it up. So, how well are we managing it now? How well is the system working now? Well, this is Mervyn King. He's the governor of the Bank of England, so he's the guy in charge. And this is what he had to say recently. Of all the many ways of organizing banking, the worst is the one we have today. That's pretty brutal. This is not a ringing endorsement. Household debt is currently rising. In 2007, we were at $1,325 billion of household debt. 2010, that had risen to $1,457 billion. So in 2007, that was around £29,000 each. That's risen by another £3,000 since the crisis. You know, the crisis was caused by too much debt, and yet that debt is still... Housing is still unaffordable. Here's a chart of house prices just rising and rising. Small fall during the crisis, but now they're on the way back up again. And if house prices are kept in line with the average income over the last 50 or 60 years, then house prices right now should be £88,000. In fact, the average house price now is around double that. Okay, the cost of making the bank safe. We have a scheme called deposit insurance, which guarantees that if you lose your money while it's in the bank, you'll get reimbursed by the taxpayers. Now, this scheme collects some money from the banks. In 2008-2009, it collected $171 million. But it paid out $19.1 billion, which means the cost to the taxpayers of running this scheme, of making the bank safe, was £18.9 billion. So for every £420 paid in by the taxpayers, the banks made a contribution of just £4. Here's the national debt 1997, that was £8,900 per person. That's now up to £35,600 in 2015. So banking crises are becoming more frequent. Here's a timeline from 1772. And this doesn't look like a system that's stable or well designed. So this is a photograph of Chicago. Now, Chicago was the home place of the skyscraper. If the buildings that we built collapsed every 7 or every 10 years, then we'd start to ask some serious questions about the way we were building. But the banking system collapses every 7 or 10 or every 20 years, and yet we just keep patching it up and rebuilding it and going straight back to business as usual. Now, that can't happen again. So the question is, are we on firm foundations? You know, is this a good foundation for our economy? Is it working in our interest? And the answer is quite obviously no. So what is wrong with the system? Okay, back to Mervyn King, giving this speech on the 25th of October in New York. He said, one example of banking reform would be to divorce the payment system from risky lending activity. That is, to prevent fractional reserve banking. Now, that might not mean anything to you right now, but the clue is there. Fractional reserve banking. We think this is the problem, and in the next video we'll explain why.
So, obviously Tony's left us now, but we've still got a few minutes left, and what we can do in those remaining few minutes is just a little sports roundup from Humane,
yeah,
I think.
Well, I got to say, actually, before we go to Humane, I must say, you know, I had one of the perfect weekend in a long, long time, actually, and ask me why, you know.
Okay, I'll ask you why. Why did you have a perfect weekend?
Well, it had to be a perfect weekend, though I must say, actually, I was a bit poorly this weekend, but it cheered me up no end when actually my team, Aston Villa, actually beat Man City by 1-0. Darren Bent, the 24 million pound player, actually scored in his debut. But what actually put the icing on the cake for me, guys, is Birmingham City getting thrashed 5-0 by Manchester United. And I was supporting the boys in red on Saturday.
Me too, because I'm a Manchester United fan. So
I actually became a temporary Manchester United fan this Saturday. Honorary Manchester United fan.
Honorary, they should make it every day, mate.
I think I'll stick with the claret and blue.
Anyway, let's get back to the real stuff of the football. You mentioned Villa beat Man City 1-0. Darren Bent.
Darren Bent.
On his debut. I mean, what did you make of the match? I mean, good signing?
I think the match was good. Villa, from what I've seen on TV, they had the determination. They were scored. They had the willingness to actually hold on to that lead. And they fought like dogs to actually hold on to the lead. I mean, don't get me wrong. Man City did have a few good chances and they should have scored. They should have at least got a point out of the game. However, Villa were determined. The determination was there. There was a new spark to the team.
I mean, that result was a good morale boost to the team. And
absolutely.
And I think they might pull away from the relegation zone. But because of thrashing that Birmingham City got, I think they just maybe in the relegation dogfight with West Brom, Wolverhampton, West Ham and Wigan as well. So I think that's a really interesting little battle at the bottom of the table. I mean, at the moment, Man United, I think they're 2 points ahead of Arsenal now with their game in hand, so
they have a game in hand over Arsenal.
So it's getting pretty interesting, you know.
It is actually both. Yeah. I mean, the top and the bottom actually is getting rather, rather interesting.
Well, I was going to say sometimes the relegation battle could be just as interesting as the battle for the championship.
Definitely. You know, I mean, the relegation battle is always the
very high drama.
It's like a dog eat dog battle at the bottom. They take points of each other, left, right and centre.
Well, yes, they have to. It's a must. I mean, towards the season we're coming up to now, we've got a few months still to go yet.
Yeah.
But it is actually going to be a dogfight, and it will be interesting to see how it all pans out.
Okay, also want to talk about the Olympic Stadium. I don't know if you guys know about this, but there's supposed to be like a verdict who's going to get the stadium, Tottenham Hotspur or West Ham, but it's been put on hold for the time being.
I think Tottenham, you can actually put your bottom dollar on that. I think it will be Tottenham.
Why would that be decided? Would that be because of money again?
I think West Ham, to be honest with you, they're a nothing club, to be honest.
They have, but
I think it's the money.
It's not about which club, it's about the legacy. I mean, the promise that the London 2012 made to the ICO, the Olympic Committee, that when they build a stadium, they want to leave a legacy. Now, Tottenham's proposal is they're going to knock down the stadium, build a brand new stadium, but invest in Crystal Palace to redevelop Crystal Palace to a 40,000 stadium.
But again, though, Humayun, you see, we are coming back to money, and I think Tottenham financially are better off than West Ham, and that might be in their favour.
Yeah, but West Ham want to keep the track in the
that
stadium,
may be
but keeping within the promise. And if the London Olympic Committee favours Tottenham, I think would be I think it'd make a laughing stock of the British sports.
Well, it may be, but
they said they'll keep the promise and they break the promise. What are they show to the rest of the world? What we just give into money?
You know? Well, I think that will eventually be the case that we do give into money, because, and I do say that quite strongly, because West Ham don't want to keep the legacy, but you see, there's no money in it for the big corporates.
I mean,
at the end, that's what it will boil down to.
The thing is, right, they will not own the stadium. It will be the London Council, and they'll just pay rent.
Mm.
That's where it is. And to be honest, it makes a lot more sense going to West Ham, and it's in the area.
Yes, it is.
So it's not. I mean, a lot more close to West Ham than Tottenham.
Mm.
Stratford. So.
Mm, but I personally think, and that's my personal opinion, I think Tottenham will be favoured most likely because of their financial status.
Oh, I prefer West Ham.
I prefer West Ham. I do. I mean, we spent all that money to build our stadium. I mean, I would prefer West Ham to get it. However,
there are also Claret and Blues as well, aren't they? So I suppose a bit of a connection.
Well, of course there is. Of course there is. But I would prefer West Ham to get it. But however, I think Tottenham will win in the end because of, as I say, the financial status.
I mean, Tottenham.
What's your view, Tariq?
Yeah, what is your view?
Well, yeah, I'd say it probably comes down to money. We see that all the time. Yeah. I'd be very surprised to see anything else. So I would have to kind of confer with your view and say, yep, looks like it's going to be Spurs.
Mm. Okay.
We will find out soon.
So my next topic was, as Tony mentioned before, the sexist remark by the Sky Sports presenter Richard Keith and Andy Gray about the female linesman. I can't remember which match was helping out. She basically gave an offside decision. Liverpool game. That's where it was. Liverpool.
Yeah.
And she got it right bang on. But I think when the mics were still on, but off camera, they made a remark about her knowing the offside rule and made a bit of
a joke. Yes. You know. But no, I'm women linesmen. I mean, I don't know lines women, whatever you want to call them.
Why not?
Assistant referees.
We have to call them now. Yeah. I mean, I think it could be good. I personally think it would actually, they can actually. I mean,
is there room for women in football? I mean, in the men.
I think there is.
You think?
Especially, I mean, here we're not talking about playing football on the pitch. You talk about having a good pair of eyes and a good understanding of the game.
But do you think they might be pushed around easily or more intimidated by players, big players?
That's the only reason I would disagree having a female lines assistant referee in a men's professional football, because some of these footballers, and I have to say this sadly, that they got no respect for anybody. We see it on the pitch all the time. We had incidents before where players are actually spitting down at fans, talking down to referees, or even a bit of pushing and shoving. So no, I don't think women linesmen or lineswomen should be in men's football on that basis. No.
Yeah, it could be. I could be seen as a sexist.
But it could actually be dangerous.
Me assuming women will get bullied easy than men. Maybe that's not the case. I mean, I'm just assuming there could be,
If
I was a footballer and I seen a female referee, my automatic mentality would be,
to intimidate them.
Exactly.
You want to intimidate them. You want to show that,
I want the best result. I want the foul. I want the free kick. Yep. I want the penalty. I want.
I'm not saying that women are easily intimidated. Far from it.
Yeah,
but
me too. But
in some cases, there are women that could be easily intimidated. And you got these 56,000 fans booing and shouting you. That can actually be quite, even for assistant referees of the male species. It's actually quite intimidating at times.
Well, that's certainly an interesting debate.
Sorry?
That's certainly an interesting debate, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think if any women do watch football and they see a female...
Well, drop us a line. I mean, we've got our email address. I mean, you can drop us a line. Tariq, the email address we have?
The email address we have is behindtheheadlines 935. So that's behind the headlines, 935 at hotmail.co.uk. .co.uk. So that's behind the headlines, 935 at hotmail.co.uk. Drop in emails for anything you heard this week, anything you want to comment on, and we will make sure to read those emails and to add any comment.
Absolutely. Just before we wrap up things here,
yes.
Guys, who do you reckon that would make the final relegation battle?
Who will get relegated?
Who is going to be your top three to actually go down?
To go down.
Liverpool.
Nah, that would be a disastrous scenario.
I'll tell you
something.
I can really, really see it happening.
No, I don't. I mean,
I think they're too strong to go down, to get relegated at the moment.
They've had some devastating losses,
But they beat Wolverhampton over the weekend, 3-0.
Yeah, but Wolverhampton are not the most consistent of teams.
Well, are they not scrambling to say themselves, Wolverhampton?
Yeah, that's true, but I think they got too much power, too much strength in the squad, and
at the moment
down.
I think
I can't see them going down.
I can't see them at
mid-table,
the moment.
Maybe mid table.
Hmm. Coventry actually clung on to the Premiership for the top flight of football for 30 years, and then they went down with a bang. So it could actually Liverpool.
I can't see it happen.
I can't see it in the next couple of years.
I would like to see it happen, but I don't see it happening.
I mean,
that's another thing, isn't it?
My prediction: bottom three, West Ham. Wigan, and I'm a bit of a passionate Midland fan, so I don't want Wolverhampton, West Brom, or Birmingham, Aston Villa going. So I would say Fulham.
I would say West Ham, West Brom, and possibly Fulham.
Who do you think, West Brom? Interesting.
Well, I think once again I'd confirm.
It's going to be a dogfight between West Brom, Birmingham, and Wolverhampton. I really hope the boys in the Golden Black actually do come out on top on that one.
Yeah, I think they will actually. I really do, because
I've got a lot of respect for Wolves. I've got a lot of respect for Wolves and Mick McCarthy.
Yeah, Mick McCarthy has instills that dog fighting spirit in the team.
He has got the spirit.
Just scrap for the point, you know.
Absolutely. No matter how they come, just get the result.
Yeah. So absolutely. Good luck to the Midland teams. That's what I say.
What I say. I mean, we don't see anyone from the Midlands go down, but if it has to be the one, I hope it's either West Brom or mainly Birmingham, actually.
Okay, I think we have pretty much reached the end, then, guys. I mean, all I have to say is that I hope you've enjoyed the show. We've given out that email address once again. It's behind the headlines 935.
At hotmail.co.uk. If I'm dropping any comments during the week, have your letters dropped in, but by electronically.
And also, if you're listening to this podcast, because we're now going podcast on mixcloud.com, I hope you enjoyed it as well. And keep your eye out for more of our podcasts coming in the future as well. You know,
absolutely.
We're moving up as well.
We are actually moving up in the world, guys. If I don't get the podcast, it will be www.mixcloud.com.
So check it out. All remains for me to thank all our contributors, Saeed Humain and Steve Jolly and Tony Gosling, to sign off for this week's edition of Behind the Headlines. And I think the final words with Saeed.
Well, like I say, next week we will be returning same time, same place. Until then, download the shows and have a listen. And it's been a fascinating show. I've enjoyed it myself, presenting it and listening. My thanks again to Humain and obviously Tariq and Tony and Steve. And to all of you that who participated in the show. Until next week, then, is goodbye, good evening. And if you've got little ones, give them a hug, give them a kiss, tell them you love them, because you just don't know what's around the corner. Until the evil vacates, this world's full of snakes, trying to keep us close-minded.
Blinded by the darkest forces, through reflection we find it. Since creation we've been sinning. We haven't reached the end, but this is far from the beginning. Patiently I harmonize my higher self, yeah. Hoping that in a later stage they'll be reflected through the actions of someone else. I spit with elegance, a frankincense aroma, and a colorful flow. Intense devotion to the one that gave breath to my soul. I'm so thankful, a burst of happiness that I tried to ignore it. Now liberated from fear, through expressions we show it.